Well, church, the Lord has a word for you tonight, and so I ask you to listen with attentive ears, listen with spiritual ears. The Lord has been showing me really, really neat truth, and has been pouring into me, and I want to share that with you tonight. It's about being the body of Christ. And I touched on this in adult Sunday school a few Sundays ago when we were talking about walking in freedom. And I want to continue a little bit tonight. But what I want to leave you with is some practicalities, something that you can grab hold of and actually do. And so listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say tonight. So, get your Bibles out and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start on verse 12. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation tonight. So if it doesn't sound like King James, it's because it isn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So right here tonight, the ones that are gathered here in this room, we are a part of the body of Christ. We all have, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have the same Spirit dwelling in us. It's one Spirit, and we are one body, the body of Christ. Verse 18, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. You are right where God wants you. He has placed you in His body. He has put you exactly where He wants you. You can rest in that. You can be assured of that. You can know who you are in the body of Christ, because the Almighty God that created everything from nothing has placed you exactly where He wants you, in the body of Christ. Now, I want you to know, and we're not going to talk about this tonight, but in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, you may have to flip a page back, but it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So not only has He placed us where He wants us in the body of Christ, but He has also given each of us a gift so that we can help each other. Now, men, I'm going to be speaking more about this tomorrow night at the men's meeting. So I ask you to come to the men's meeting, because it's going to be good. And we're going to talk about walking in our gifting in the body of Christ. We're going to talk about standing in the gap before the land and building up the wall of righteousness. 6:30 tomorrow night, men. That was a advertisement. Okay, so back to 18. Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. Verse 22, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. So listen. No matter where you are in the body of Christ, you are necessary. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is, because remember it said, it doesn't matter whether you are Jewish. It doesn't matter whether you're a Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're slave or free. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or short or skinny or fat. It doesn't matter whether you're suave and debonair, and it doesn't matter whether you're a country hick. It means that you are necessary, and he has put you in the body right where he wants you. And he's given you a gift so that we can help each other. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. All the members care for each other, and it's marked by harmony in the body. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I don't know about you, but that is an astounding truth. I've known it for 40 years, but only now is the Holy Spirit making me realize, even as a physician who has studied the body, has dissected the body down to the smallest little nerve, and now I am understanding what it means to be a living body of Christ, and Christ is the head. And every one of us has a part in that body, and we help one another. We care for one another. Now, by the Spirit, as Paul was writing this letter to Corinthians, he goes on, and in chapter 13, what we have is chapter 13 now, he speaks of love. And I want to draw your attention to verse 2 in chapter 13. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. The Greek word for nothing is oudeis. Oudeis. What do you suppose that Greek word means? Huh? Nothing. It means nothing. It also means no one or nobody. So what it's saying here is that you could have the gift of prophecy. You could know all of God's plans. You could have the faith that told that mountain to get up and be cast into the sea. But if you didn't love, you're a nobody. You're a zero. You are zilch. You are nada. Love. John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's all founded on and based upon love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so we love because he first loved us. God is love. So as we fit in the body of Christ, we have to love. So what would it look like? Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. What does this look like, this body that's loving one another and caring for one another? Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start with verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. We will speak the truth in love. What is the truth? Jesus said what the truth was in John 17, 17. Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. We speak his word. It is truth. So we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what it looks like. That's what I want to see all the time. He is the one that makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He is the one that has put each of us exactly where he wants us. He is the one who has given each of us gifts so that we can help each other. And as each part does its own special work. So that means that where we are, we need to be doing our special work. We need to be using the gift that we have been given. We have to know how we fit in the body, and then we need to walk in that in love, because it says it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen? Okay, so let this sink deep down into your spirit. And now we're going to talk about three things that we can do in the body of Christ. Three very practical things. Things that we can do to help the body grow up in love and function perfectly just as Jesus made it. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Now, you know, Ephesians 6 talks about, among other things, the armor of God. And right after it talks about taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it says, verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. How often are we supposed to pray? All the time. We should be walking in communion with our Father, always talking to Him. Robert preached about this on Sunday, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. He will direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, commune with Him. In all your ways, talk to Him. And at all times and on every occasion, pray in the Spirit and pray for all the saints everywhere. That's one practical thing we can do. And you know what? The church doesn't do it well. But you know what? This part of the body of Christ, known as Living Waters, we can start to do that well. We can pray at all times in the Spirit. Now listen, this is not just idle, by-the-by exhortation from the Apostle Paul. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. He prayed all the time, constantly, for the church, that they might grow up into Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. Verse 7. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. In King James, I believe it says, because I hold you in my heart. And then he says, verse 9, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. He's praying big things for the church. He's praying for insight and knowledge and wisdom. He's praying for the church to walk blameless and upright in holy conduct before the Lord. Flip over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. Verse 9, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. That's how we pray for all of the saints everywhere. That we might grow in wisdom. That we might grow in knowledge and understanding and discernment and insight and good judgment, making the right decision every time. That we might mature in the Lord. That we would be able to teach others also. That we would be able to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Flip over to Daniel chapter 10. And you go, whoa, from the New Testament over to Daniel. Wow, what can this be about? I'm going to show you that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same thing that the Apostle Paul is telling the church is the same thing that the Father has been saying all along. Chapter 10, verse 12. So you see, let me set the stage. So Daniel had been praying. Get to chapter 10 here. In verse 12, he says, an angel says to Daniel, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. So, when we pray, our Father in heaven hears our prayer. The Psalms say he bends his ear down to hear our prayer. And when we pray, he hears and he answers. So what do you suppose would happen if all of us began to pray constantly in the Spirit for all the saints everywhere? Our Father's going to hear us. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 19, if any two of you agree about anything here on earth, my Father in heaven will do it. You believe that? What if all of us agreed and we prayed and we called upon our Father and He heard us and He answered us? We will see great and mighty things. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus taught us in a parable that we should pray all the time and not lose heart, not stop, but to pray all the time. So we need to be praying. What else do we need to do? So when Daniel saw this, he, in verse 15, it says, "And while he was speaking to me, I looked down at the ground, unable to say a word. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips and opened my mouth and began to speak. And I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, 'I am filled with anguish because of the vision I have seen, my Lord, and I am very weak. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe.'" And then he says, "The one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning." The second thing that we can do is we can use the power of touch. We are full of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us. Paul said it in Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And we can come up to somebody, a brother or a sister, and we can touch them when they are weak, when they can hardly breathe, and their strength be restored. When I was a medical student at Texas Tech University Health Science Center in Lubbock, Texas, I was on an internal medicine rotation, and every morning we would make rounds in the hospital on our patients. An attending physician would be there, because I'm a student, I'm learning, and we would follow the attending physician around, and we would go from room to room, rounding on each of the patients in the rooms for the different diagnoses that they carried. And this one day, as the entourage of students were following the attending physician around, we would go into a room, and every time we went into the room, that physician, whose name I can't even recall to this day, would take the person's big toe, and he would jiggle it. And then he would talk to the patient, we would review the chart, we would make plans for the rest of the day, and then we would file out and we would go to the next room, and we would go in, he would greet the patient, and he would grab their toe under the sheet and jiggle it. And I'm going, this is really strange. And we did that for that morning, and we came to the last patient, and he did the same thing. Looked at the chart, discussed the case, and as we were filing out of the room, I was the last one. And as I was leaving, the patient said to me, That is the best doctor I have ever had. And I was really curious. And I said, why do you say that? And he said, because every morning when he comes in, he grabs my toe and jiggles it. True story. And right then, the Lord just taught me something. He taught me the power of touch. And as I grew as a physician, I would use the power of touch whenever my patients came in. The first thing that I would do when I greeted them was to lay my hand on them somewhere. We can do the same thing, church. We can love one another. We can lay our hand on someone's shoulder. Or it may be something as small as just putting your finger on their knee. But it's the power of touch to let them know that you love them and that we are placed in the body of Christ just where Jesus wants us. So utilize it. Think about it. When we do freedom prayer, our team of three, at the end of freedom prayer, we bless the person that came for prayer. And we lay our hands on them. We touch them. And then we do the third practical thing that is also here in Daniel. And it says, verse 19, the man, the one that looked like a man, says, don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, be strong, as he spoke these words to me. As he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. So the third thing is to speak truth into people's lives. That's what we do in freedom prayer. We pray for them. We bless them. We speak truth into their life. We can do that on a day-to-day basis in the body of Christ. We can look them right in the eye. We can lay our hand on their knee or on their shoulder or touch their elbow, but some way, and then we can speak the encouraging words. Paul talks about this, Ephesians chapter 4. He says, verse 29, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. King James says, seasoned with salt. So make your speech palatable. Make it seasoned just right. Make it something that is going to satisfy the person that you are talking to, and you tell them the truth. That's why we need to read our Bibles. That's why we need the Word in us, because out of our heart is going to come whatever's in there. And if you're packing your heart with God's truth, then His truth is going to come out. And it will come out and it will speak to your brother or your sister, or even in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. So even those who know not Christ, you are speaking words of encouragement and truth, and you are building up and not tearing down. You are lifting them up. You are fortifying them. You are edifying them. And you are saying you are special because God made you. We are the body of Christ. We care for one another. We love one another. We pray for one another. We give hugs. We show that we care, and we speak words of truth, and we always build up. We do not tear down. Then what will come to pass is what I read in Ephesians chapter 4, that Christ will make the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work, and it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So tonight, go home. Get before Jesus and say, Jesus, I heard your word. Your Holy Spirit quickened me in my spirit, and I want to obey. I want to know exactly how I fit in your body, and I want to do my part. Don't let that opportunity escape you. And you know what? Jesus will answer you. He will speak to you. Open your ears, because he said, I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. And you can hear his voice, and he will tell you exactly what he wants you to do. Let's pray. So, Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your word for your church, that your word is building us up, and your word is making us more and more like you. We want to grow in your grace. We want to grow in the knowledge of you. We want to know you better and better every day. We want to love like you love. So, Lord Jesus, live your life in us as we walk in obedience to you. In Jesus' name.